So a few weeks back when we gathered and we were continuing our journey in the book of Acts, and before we delve in, anybody need a Bible this morning? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Our usher will get one to you. Everybody's locked and loaded. Good. Okay. We almost finished chapter 15. And if you recall, when we gathered last, we were seeing the continuation of this issue that had come up. And the issue that had come up was a foundational one. And we talked about how within this chapter, chapter 15, we get to see conflict come up. And we get to see conflict that can come up where it is foundational. It's one of those things where, we've got to work this out. We've got to be in set agreement. And the issue at hand was salvation and how one is saved. Because remember, there was this idea from some of the sect of Pharisees saying, hey, you know, they're not really saved until they go through what takes place for the Jewish people. So they need to be circumcised. They need to follow all the law of Moses. You're not saved by the way, the truth, and the life. You're saved by being a Jewish person and then the way, the truth, and the life. And that's not how it goes. So we saw that they came to this ability to make it clear after much conversation and discussions amongst the leaders. And then James coming forth and saying, okay, the issues they're putting here, that's null and void. You're saved through faith alone by grace in Jesus Christ. But then there were things given in this decree that was set forth. And we talked about last time how that was given in an effort to preserve fellowship amongst Jew and Gentile. Because remember, culturally at the time, these were not folks that mixed. So we're talking if the Jewish person sees a Gentile and, okay, I got to now go get completely clean. I'm unclean. But now there's coming together. There's fellowship taking place. And in order for that fellowship to take place, they put forth a few things. So for the Jewish folks, it was kind of saying, hey, drop what you're thinking here, adding. It's just one way that we're saved. They don't have to do all these other things. But then to the Gentiles, giving them some things and saying, hey, you know, when you're coming together, the food that you're going to bring, if you're going to bring food to the potluck, why don't you make sure it's kosher so that everybody can be together? Let's not put things that are in the way of fellowship. Let's not do these things that Jewish folks would be so offended and struggle with for the sake of fellowship, for the sake of love with one another, that they could come together, that they could be together and grow. And in that, we then saw that they went forth, they shared that. There was rejoicing, there was taking it, there was embracing it. And then we saw they stayed in the area of Antioch, they stayed with them and they built them up, they exhorted them, they strengthened them. And some remained a little bit longer, and now we're going to delve into that second missionary journey getting ready to get started for Paul. This first one finished, and that second one about to get started. Now, before we delve into that, the charge, as we gathered last time, was to think about looking at this. Their focus was to build up the body of Christ, not to break it down. So do you seek to build up the bride of Christ, or do you seek to break it down? That was one of the pieces to ask yourself. And two, looking at the unity that was desired with fellowship is a heart of love. So it behooved us all to take some time and pray through, seek from the Lord, how's my heart for love within the body of Christ? How's my heart for love and unity within the body of Christ? So how are you doing on those two areas? And those are things to keep reflecting on, not just in the portion where we were, but to continue on. Now today we're going to be going on, we'll finish chapter 15, we'll go on to the first few verses of chapter 16 as we delve on. And the title of today's message could kind of be two, Onward in Him, or you could pick God's Mathematics. You get a title choice, they both apply. But Onward in Him, God's Mathematics. We'll put it as one, there we go. But when we go forth in this, we're going to see here another conflict come up. But this is not going to be a doctrinal issue, as we saw in this previous one. This is a personal issue that's going to come up. And guess what? Personal issues come up. They come up within the bride of Christ. They come up within leadership, within ministry. But as we go through this portion into the beginning of chapter 16, we're going to see a few things. We're going to see division, because these men are going to divide. We're going to see multiplication take place because more ability for arms to reach. We're going to see addition take place because there's going to be strengthening and there's going to be added folks to the church. And we're going to see a little bit of subtraction that's implied because the enemy probably wanted this whole divisive thing to go a little bit different, but the wiles of the enemy subtracted, null and void. God continues onward. But the caveat for that continuing onward is as we see a focus in the midst of the division, in the midst of what's going on the big purpose, names being added to the book of life. And I think when we think of the church today, that's something we kind of forget is actually the focus and important part that all of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ should be about. People knowing Jesus, people coming to salvation, people coming to know and surrender, and names being added to the book of life. Again, it's a personal issue, not doctrinal. And we're going to see in this passage different types of personalities. And that's what stirs a little bit of issues often, personalities. Anybody ever have struggle with someone else's personality? Raise your hand. Oh, I was kidding, but okay, good. I'm there too. Guilty. That's great. We should do this again. Anybody? No, I'm kidding. But when we think about that, we've all had those moments, right? Oh my goodness, Johnny's just, you have that. Things come up. There's different personalities. But in the personalities of our text today, I'm going to challenge us to say, you know, we need a little bit of each of these personalities. And we need each of these personalities in our lives. And we'll see how that applies as we work through our text this morning. So brothers and sisters, stand with me and let's read chapter 15. And we'll do verses 36 to the end of 15 this morning, just to get us all focused in together, standing and giving our undivided attention to the word of God. All together we read. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren of the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the gift to serve you in this capacity. And Lord, I ask that you empty me right now. Father God, that the words that come forth from my lips be what is needed for your precious people, Lord, to feed and to tend to them, Lord Jesus. Father, through your Spirit, empower me, strengthen me, give me the words, lead and guide, give the delivery, give every single aspect of this message, Lord Jesus, that it be as you need. Lord, may your Spirit take over for the preaching of your word, for the edification, for the conviction, for the growth of your people. And Lord, that those that don't know you would come to know you. And Father, those that know you but have strayed would say, "Lord, take me back. I'm sorry." Please, Father God. And Lord, I would also ask as we walk through this text, help us to remember your word is living and powerful. Lord, that we would allow you through your Spirit to let it be that double-edged sword, discerning our thoughts and examining the intents of our hearts. Please, Lord. Father, help us to not just be hearers, but help us to seek to be doers. On the name alone that brings salvation, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So as we get started in this, we see here, the second journey is about to get started. So then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." If we can put up the map, this is just to give you, you know, I love maps. So this is to give you a look at where this journey is going to take place. So we'll be, this map's going to be coming back to us many times because we'll be looking at this about halfway through chapter 18. So it sees where we're going. They're in Antioch. There's going to be one going to Cyprus. And then we're going to see, once the split takes place and we start 16, they're going to go to Cilicia, through there to Derbe, to Lystra. And we're going to keep going onward. This is that second journey that Paul goes on and takes place. That just gives us a visual of where we are. Now we see Paul brings this idea to Barnabas. Hey, we should go back and let's take a look at the folks where we've been. This reveals to us a bit of Paul's heart. Definitely see that pastoral heart. He wasn't just about, let's go and get this started and then, okay, figure it out, guys. No, let's get this started and then let's go back. Let's make sure they're doing well. Let's encourage them. Let's build them up. That's what we do with our ministry partners. If you think of with Israel, Almond Branch that we're starting now, we're going to be going back. Almond Branch builds relationships so that you do the work and then you go back, you build relationships. If you think of what we've done in India, it's the same thing with PGT, with Good News Bible College. We keep going back. We build the relationship. We cultivate the relationship. There's a checking in where the preaching of the word goes forth. And that's vital. And I encourage you too, in your own lives, when you share the gospel, when you may have the blessing to pray with someone when they make that decision to surrender all to the Lord, follow up, check in on them, see how they're doing. Maybe even now as I'm talking, there's someone that years ago you shared Jesus with and you know they're walking with the Lord. Have you reached out to them? How are you doing? How's everything going? How can I be praying for you? That's one of my favorite questions to ask in that case. Oh, everything's good. Well, that answer says a lot because we all need prayer for something. But check in, see how folks are doing. So there's this heart's desire to do that. And then as we see, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. So clearly there's agreement. Yeah, that's a good idea, Paul. We should do this. We should go back and visit these places. And in going now, this is where disagreement comes in because there's an agreement on the ministry that needs to be done. But there's a disagreement on who's on the team. Who's going with us? Barnabas determined to take with them John called Mark. And when Barnabas presents this, we see how Paul reacted. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. If we recall in Acts 13:13, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And if you remember when we looked at that, it was clear, okay, we don't know why he's going back. There's lots of speculation. But his going back had a little impact on Paul. And we see here two different types of guys. Think of who we're talking about first, Barnabas. What is Barnabas? The son of encouragement. Good job. You all get gold stars. The son of encouragement. To encourage people. That's Barnabas. Remember when they're like this, Paul, did he really come to belief? Who was the one who's like, no, he really did. Who encouraged? Barnabas. Barnabas is the encourager. Barnabas is the one of, hey, no, let's give him another chance. Let's give him another try. So he's determined to be there. And I can tell you, back in my school leader days, I was the Barnabas in the faculty meeting with the kid that everybody was fed up with, and he needs to just go. And I was the one who got to make the decision. Like, no, let's give him one more chance. And then I'd say it again. Let's give him one. You said that last time. I know, but let's give him another chance. There's that desire. Come on, let's give John Mark this chance to do this. But then Paul insisted, and we see here it's not light language. It's not, you know, Barnabas thought maybe it might be cool if John Mark, no, he's determined. My cousin's coming with us, and we're giving him another chance. And then we see Paul is insisting, no, we're not going to take this dude who didn't even come with us. He was supposed to, and he didn't. I don't know what's wrong with him, but we don't have time for that right now. We've got work to do. On one side, you've got the person who's saying, come on, let's take him with us. And if he can see how God's moving, then maybe that'll move his heart and he's going to come along. And on the other side, we've got work to do for the Lord. He needs to have it together so we can get this work done. Different personalities. different styles. Is one better than the other? I'm sure everyone here has an opinion. I have my own opinion. But at the end of the day, it's not that we can say, okay, all in favor of Barnabas, raise your hand. All in favor of Paul, raise your hand. Okay, Paul won today. He's the winner. No, that's not how it goes. At the end of the day, both had strong convictions on what they felt was necessary for how this ministry is executed. And that's a reality that takes place within ministry, within the work of God. We're part of the Calvary Chapel movement. And if you look at the history, Venture and Faith, we're going to watch it in 2026 as a body. But it's a great documentary that talks about the history of the Calvary Chapel movement. And guess what? There's times where guys had strong conviction. We need to focus more on dot, dot, dot. Not necessarily a doctrinal issue, but an issue that, okay, this is a personal preference. So you run with that. May the Lord bless it. And we're going to run with this. And may the Lord bless it. That's what's taking place here, this bit of tension, of disagreement between two men who are imperfect. And that's a piece to also remember. Because when you look at this up to this point, if you think about Barnabas, if you think about Paul, it's like, whoa, look at these guys. I want to be like them. Yeah, we do. Also imperfect. They're not perfect guys. They're two imperfect men trying to serve the perfect great I am. And in their imperfection, tension came. Conflict came based on personal issues. So what did they do with that conflict? Then they got in a ring and boxed. No, they didn't. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Now, when we look at this contention, the word, when we delve into the Greek there, it's pointing to this irritation. So it also shows it got heated. It wasn't this type of thing where it's just like, okay, well, you disagree, I disagree, I'll see you later. No, there was a little, no, dude, he's not coming. He's coming. No, he's not. We're done. Just you go your way, I'll go my way. You know? It's the, let's just take our separate roads. It's that picture you saw of the slide that the Lord helped Ashlyn create where it's this road, field, and it splits. They're going to part. They're going to go their separate ways. Now, we don't get in here, and in the text, it's not like we see this contention take place and we get the blow-by-blow of everything that took place. I would love to know the details a little bit of, okay, what did Paul say? What did Barnabas say? How did this go? You know, get a little popcorn. But we don't get that. We just get in the midst of this. This took place, and then they went their different ways. Now, we do know, when we look at the text, and when we move and examine Colossians 4, 2 Timothy 4, Philemon, we know that Paul has a turnaround and a heart that says John Mark is useful for ministry, particularly in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we know there was a change that took place. We also know that Paul and Barnabas from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the way that Paul mentions Barnabas, guess what? We also know there was a reconciliation that took place. So you know what that says in between? Two imperfect men kept their eyes on the work of the Lord, and as they were serving the Lord clearly had a work in their hearts and then brought them back together and brought a reconciliation at a certain point. Now, you know how there's the ability to do that? Eyes on the work of the Lord. And I can tell you now, being in this role as a pastor, these things come up, division comes, but sadly, what we often see in church culture isn't kind of this idea where it's, okay, we're going to go keep our eyes on the Lord. It's more, okay, I'm going to go and let's slander. Let's gossip. That's what we see in church culture today when these things can come up, when personal issues come up. And social media makes it a hoot. People go thumb happy. And they justify it. Well, no, I'm right. Everybody needs to know what happened. How does that bring glory to God? And what is that witness to the world of the church? What witness is that? What witness is taking down another man as they seek to be faithful to the work of God over personal issues? Does that actually bring God glory? Does that actually show people that you are a humble servant of the Lord God Almighty. There's that factor too that I think gets neglected to be thought about. Contention's gonna come. Dissonance gonna come. And you know who loves when contention comes within believers? The enemy. Oh boy, does he love it. He's like, oh, this is a field day. Stir the pot. Come on, get angry. And I think in our culture, that's where why we're all glued to the devices. It's like, come on, pick it up. Pick it up. Start using those thumbs. But imagine if the focus is the work of the Lord. Because look what goes on in the next verse. Verse 39, when we look at the second half of that. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Notice in our text, it doesn't say, you know, so Barnabas took Mark and they made a campaign to tell everybody, ignore what Paul says, he's a fool. And we don't see Paul and Silas went and said, hey, everybody, if you run into this guy named Barnabas, he's a knucklehead. Don't listen to him. No, they went forth about the work that the Lord called them to. How do we know that? Context, strengthening the churches. When we're faithful to what the Lord's calling to do, the Lord strengthens that, grows that. And that strengthening the churches is pointing to the fact the folks that are there are getting their muscles built in the Lord. And that's a vital thing. And how did that come through? Because they're going, they're checking on them, they're talking to them, they're encouraging them. When we look at this division, it becomes easy to want to pick a side. Who's team B? Who's team P? We're team G, God. That's the side. It's not about Paul's side. It's not about Barnabas' side. It's about God's side. When it comes to personal issues, we have to remember to focus and not lose sight on being on team God. Now, this passage then doesn't mean, wow, okay, look at this. There's this personal issue and they split. Finally, I hate that mustard color wall. Anybody who wants blue painted walls all over Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, get together, we're out. No, 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 no. It's not a license to just then go forth and pick your hobby horse and then decide you're going to go wacky. Because we have the whole counsel of the Word of God. So guess what our focus should be? Unity. They will know we are Christians by our love. So there we go. But that's an important piece of this. Lest we forget. Lest we forget. And you know what that takes? It takes humility. It takes surrender. Surrender sows surrender. Those are the two pieces it takes. Now again, there are still going to be those times, and this is particularly with two leaders that are going forth, and it's like, okay, I'm not budging on this. I'm not budging on this. And sometimes there is that bit of, okay, let's just part. But may it part the way this parts. Let's both be about what we genuinely sense the Lord is calling us to. And division that focuses on keeping eyes on the Lord bears forth the fruit we see here. The enemy thought he was going to have a field day and divide, and the Lord says, great, now there's two teams going out. More work done at once, multiplication. And that's a beautiful piece. It's a beautiful thing. Then they go on now, verse 1 of chapter 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So the work goes on. And as we go on, actually, and as we keep going through Acts, what's also interesting is this moment of division isn't something that we then keep seeing rehashed over and over again. It's not then they came to Derbe and Lystra and they talked about this division that took place and Barnabas who did this and then Barnabas had the nerve to take Mark with it. No, 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 no. Eyes on him. Let's go about the work we're called to do. Let's go about that. And now as the work goes on, somebody comes into play, Timothy. Timothy, we know of, if we think of this young man, a certain Jewish woman who believed, we know who that is. When we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're reminded Eunice's mother, Lois's grandmother, devout believers who poured into him. And then his father, though, Greek. And there's something interesting about that delineation, which is why it's in the scripture, because under Jewish law, Jewish custom, the Jewish mother means he's Jewish. But under Greek law and Greek custom, the Greek man is the one who decides, so then the household's run by Greek law. Tricky piece now that this is the one who's coming along, Timothy. Because where does Paul usually go when he starts his journeys? The synagogues. What does he want to do? Preach Jesus to the Jewish people. What do people often want to do when you want to give them Jesus and they're a little hesitant? Find something that they can bicker with you over or ask questions to keep the gospel not the focus. So look what we see here. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So it's something to be clear here, because you could now say, well, hold up. Just a little bit before, we had you even reminded us, Pastor Vince, about the decree that went, what is going on here? This is what I mean. The word of God contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. Let's slow down and dissect it a little bit. This isn't a moment where he's saying Timothy has to do this for salvation. Paul has Timothy doing this so that there's no hindrance to the ability for the gospel to go forth. Because if we think of this as Paul decides this decision, Timothy, let's get this circumcision done, because now when we get there, they don't have the time to say, well, hang on, before you talk to us, we want to talk about him. Because did you know his father's Greek, mom's Jewish, he needs to be circumcised, I don't understand what's going on here. And No. No hindrance. Let's get what could be in the way of the word of God going forth out of the way so that when we show up, we can just focus on Jesus. Modern application. Personal story here. I love t-shirts. I have some t-shirts that could have some fiery statements on them, if you will. I enjoy a little fire every now and then. And I wore those t-shirts regularly. Then, as you all know, March 5th, 2023, ordained, and Pastor David shared the transition plan and was going to be moving into the senior pastor role. And I start praying, Lord, how do you want to reach Chapel Hill? And my heart breaking for the people of Chapel Hill. And then realizing some of the t-shirts I wear aren't exactly bridges to great conversation. I won't even share. There was nothing, you know, no curse words, lest you go crazy here, but they were quite conservative, and I liked it, you know? When you've been called white supremacist and other things, it's like, oh, let me get a t-shirt, and I'll wear it, and we can have a conversation piece. But guess what? If that's what I decide to lead with on Franklin Street, I don't know how easy that's going to be to just delve right into talking about the gospel. Because it's going to become a debate about what I'm wearing. And, oh, you must be a Trumpy. You know, or you must be this, you must be that. You just get put in this box. So I share this to say, the Lord really broke my heart. And I retired a bin of t-shirts. There's so many of them. I love them. Every now and then, I even want to pull it out and put some of them back on. I think Christina rejoiced because she wasn't a fan of all the t-shirts. You know, she'd be like, you're all these big t-shirts. I love you, boo-boo. But when we see this, it was a hindrance. And yes, it's something I wanted to hold on to, but they had to go so that when I go to share Jesus with someone, there's no hindrance. It's just me. Let's talk. Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you about my King? There's a passage that illuminates this a little bit more. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul writes of this as he gives context to the Corinthians about his own journey and serving and dying to self. We read in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. So there's this bit here where he's pointing to the fact he's free. But just because we have that freedom doesn't mean we just run free with the freedom. Run in the freedom of Christ, but the freedom that we have as men and women, prayerfully discern so that nothing gets in the way of the focus, people knowing Jesus. That's the focus. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of it with you. Notice he's not putting here that he abandons doctrine, that he abandons the essentials of the faith. That's not what we're talking about, because that's where you suddenly get, well, look, I mean, we've got to be all things for all people. So we have to put a rainbow out in front of the church and say everybody can come in, and we're affirming and all these things. Be all things. Paul was all things. Y'all hold the phone. He's talking about conduct. He's talking about behavior. He's talking about approach. He's not talking about essentials. Do y'all get that? That's an important piece to not mix up. The essentials never change. But what Paul is pointing to here is the goal is to see people one to the Lord Jesus Christ. So to see people one to the Lord Jesus Christ, the goal is to be the bridge. So to be the bridge, you need a little bit of flexibility. Back when I was a school leader and how COVID, when that first hit, boy, was that a nightmare for the role I was in boarding school. And the Lord gave me a phrase for the parents, patient flexibility. That way things, when it changes, it's like, let's all have patience and we're going to need to be flexible. Because I might write you one thing at 9 a.m. and then at 9:30 it's changing. Please be patient and have flexibility. That flexibility we need. Because rigidity reaps rejection. So if I myself had said, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, I wanna see people in Chapel Hill know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not putting away my t-shirts. I don't care if they offend you, lefty, I'm keeping my t-shirts. That's gonna reap rejection. It's gonna reap rejection. Because I'm being rigid. But if I can surrender what I want and say, let me shift how this goes down a little bit. And let me focus more on just being, hey, I'm a dude here who loves Jesus. Can I talk to you? Surrender sows surrender. If I want to sow seeds of folks surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to surrender to him, and I need to surrender to what he asks me to put aside for the gospel's sake. It's conduct. It's approach. So it means that if you want to reach out to folks who perhaps we are in Chapel Hill, there's an LGBTQ population. It might not be the best way to reach out to just go down with a sign that says God hates explicative word, as one group has done before. But that's the truth, Pastor. They need to know the truth. Yeah, and the enemy's done a great job with the Bride of Christ. They already hate all Christians. Just at surface value. Why don't you show up and ask the Lord, how do you want me to be present to this? For us, what did the Lord give me? How can I pray for you? That's what we do. We go to Franklin Street. If you've done Franklin Street Outreach, everybody has a t-shirt. How can I pray for you? And folks who have gone, it's an open door. Folks want to converse. Folks want to talk. Now, do I back down from the truth? Never. Never. I got to have one conversation that was with a trans individual, and we started talking, and they were open to prayer. And then eventually she said, wow, I can't believe this. So, I mean, well, what do you think about me? And I didn't say, I think you're horrible. I said, well, let me show you what Scripture says. And we walked through Romans 1. Was there a little bit of tension? You bet your bottom dollar. But I said, I want you to understand something. I love you. And I want you to understand something else. God loves you. And when I met the Lord, I struggled with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And because of his grace and mercy, he transformed me. And he can transform you. Because he has a way he made you. And there we go. I've shared the story with some, a grocery store where that same prayer shirt, another trans individual got to pray for them and now asks for prayer. And after one of our prayers, never saw eyeliner on him ever again. Hallelujah. The Lord knows the heart, but it's about being faithful. And trust me, some of those ways of going in it, I'll be real. I can have a little fiery side that I want to just whack them over the head with truth and be like, you're going to hell. Not the best way to win people to Jesus when there's certain folks I'm going to. Now, for some, that's what they need. And that's the Lord leads when it's like that. I've had that with some folks. But what we see here when we're looking at Paul's words here, it's about our conduct. It's about our approach because it's about lost souls needing salvation. And brothers and sisters, that's what it boils down to. Does your heart break for the lost? Does your heart break for the fact that when we leave here, you're going to see people you don't know? Do you know, based on just looking at them, if their life is surrendered to Jesus? You don't. Do you know if today may be the day that they breathe their last breath? You don't. But what should those two factors do? Lord, what do you want me to say right now, and how do you want me to say it? Lord, fill me that I can be used by you. Imagine if everybody who loved Jesus approached every stranger with that prayer in heart. Wouldn't it be interesting if our hearts broke for the lost? So we see here Paul's circumcision. Paul having Timothy circumcised, it's so there's no hindrance. What hinders you from reaching the lost in our area? What's your hindrance right now? Where are you rigid and holding on to? And I want to be clear, because this is a tricky thing to preach, because in it, this is where folks take one soundbite and it's like, you said that you did it. I accept the whole counsel of the word of God. From Genesis to Revelation. And God has ways that living honor him and ways that living do not honor him. I brought up LGBTQ. To be clear, there are two genders, male and female. To be clear, God's design is Genesis. That is my belief. That will never change. And I believe that there are a lot of hurting, broken people in that lifestyle who need the love of Jesus, and the bride of Christ needs to get over themselves and let the Lord lead you to give them the gospel. That's what your pastor believes. Because Chapel Hill needs Jesus. And we put this area in a box. They're so left, they're so woke, they're so this. How about we just say they're so lost? How about we just say, I was lost. How about we say I was found? How about we say, let's go give them Jesus? Y'all, can we do that? Can we be about that? Because that's what's needed. Going on, verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So they're informed as to what's going on. It's not like the decrees that went down or suddenly. It doesn't matter. No, fellowship and unity matter. That doesn't go away. That's shared. That's kept. It's an important thing. And then look what takes place. The churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. The eyes of Paul as he's doing this is on the Lord. Let's go visit them. Let's make sure they know. Let's make sure there's no hindrance to the gospel going forth. When the eyes are focused on the Lord, guess what? He has his way, and his church is strengthened, and the increase happens. Who brings the increase? He does. We need to be faithfully obedient to our part. Who this last week did you say, can I tell you about Jesus? You want to come worship the King with me on Sunday? That's what it's about. It's not just sitting on our hands and having a comfy church in the corner where we come and we love each other and we know each other, not knocking it. It's great. But what are you doing about the lost in this area, y'all? They need Jesus. Share the love of Jesus. Share the gospel. Share the word of God. And then let the Lord do the rest. He strengthens and he increased in number daily. Now, when we look at this text, there's some different personalities we've seen. Barnabas, who's an encourager, not going to give up. Paul, diligently focused, and also takes in Timothy, who's going to be a son in the faith, as we read in the epistles, and we'll see that relationship of a spiritual dad, spiritual son, where he pours in and he wants to see him grow. That's the relationship for Pastor David with me, a spiritual dad in the faith, Bobby Hargrave, spiritual dad in the faith, where they're pouring in and they're there and they're growing. And then we see Timothy, who's being poured into. We each need a little bit of each of that. You need to be an encourager. You need to be diligent and pouring into the next generation. And everybody needs somebody to be pouring into them. So those are those three personalities that we each need a little bit of, and we each need to be. Be an encourager. Who can you encourage in the faith? Who can you pour into? And who can pour into you? These are important pieces. I just highlight that because with these ones that come up, it's three distinct folks. You need a little bit of each of them, and you need to be that. And you need to have that. Somebody encouraging you, somebody doing that. Again, all ties to if our eyes are on him, these are things that take place. Because if you have that life of prayer, suddenly someone from the body comes to mind, I should send them this message, or I should send this worship song, I should send them this scripture, and you're encouraging. Pour into, be poured into. We need all that. Can you put up Chapel Hill photo one? That's where we are, friends. Chapel Hill. This is the door of utterance the Lord opened for this church in 2003. Still open. Doors still open. Can you put up the next picture? This is from, I think it was 2022 when UNC beat Duke. And boy, oh boy, did the crowds come out. A lot of people. A lot of people. Put up the third Halloween. Sorry, switch them. That one was that's Halloween. The other one is the game. A lot of people. When I look at these, I wonder, if the rapture happened, what would that picture look like? And then I wonder how many would say, wait, Bob isn't here. I hung out with Bob every day and he never told me about the gospel. One of the brothers in the discipleship group I'm doing, Quinn, shared a story where Pastor talked about that, where the rapture happens, how many people left behind are going to say they knew you and you never told them about Jesus. You just kept it to yourself. I don't want to offend anybody. There's a world of lost people that needs Jesus. And when I look at this text that we've walked through, brothers and sisters, I see this division that takes place. I see this multiplication that goes as the Lord has other folks to go. I see the addition of strength and numbers added. I see subtraction. The wiles of the enemy don't get headway. And then my heart just breaks as I looked at these first five verses and prayed through it. It was like, whoa, we need to be all to this region to reach it. And I have alluded to it, but the Lord stirred my heart and my honey bunny. Y'all, it's time to hit the streets for Chapel Hill. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. And I'm not talking, you know, come to our church and we'll give you da-da. No, we got to give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Let the word of God and the spirit of God do what they do best. But let's be faithful. And let's be willing to say, Lord, is there anything about my personality, my preferences, my way that's a little rigid that I need to retire so that I surrender it unto you so I can sow seeds of surrender and others will want to surrender unto you that I can reach? You know, I think some folks, it might be suits and ties not here, but you know, I think of the fundamentalist circle groups where, you know, if the lady's not wearing a jean skirt, she's hellbound. Well, you're really going to do a great job reaching people if your focus is the skirt or no skirt. That's something that needs to be surrendered. My t-shirt's surrendered. If you're interested in a t-shirt, talk to me after. I'll cut you a deal. But certain things have to be put aside so we can reach the people he needs. And as we go forth doing the ministry, things might come up. And that's where you've got to wrestle through, pray through, okay, am I in, am I not? That's between you and the Lord. But I'm being fully transparent as your under-shepherd where my heart is. I want to see people know Jesus. And I want us to get ourselves out of the way to be used by Jesus. I want to see the body of believers at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, seeking the empowerment of the Spirit of God and going forth that this church can be strengthened in the faith and that this church increased in number daily for the glory of God. So the charge for this week, and the charge for this week really, to take in prayer, brothers and sisters, will you be about the lost and will you be about the work of God? Will you be about the lost and will you be about the work of God? If you dig into these, I've started to. I'll be real with you. There's going to be a lot of surrender. A lot of time on your knees and surrender. And praying, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Will you be about the lost? Will you be about the work of God? Given the gospel, get the hindrances out of the way. When you share, going back to the people you talk to, pouring into them, checking in on them, how's your relationship? How's your walk with the Lord? And see names added to the book of life. Because the world wants to say some folk, well, they'll never change. To that I say, have you met Jesus? Have you met Jesus? He is a miracle worker. And in our culture that wants so much experience, I think we've given undervalue to one of the greatest miracles that we can see happen, a life transformed for Jesus. A life transformed for Jesus. If you want some tangible examples, you're here today, I'm putting you on the spot. Talk to Pastor Jeff, ask him, tell me some stories of lives changed in the camps, Caswell and Dan River, because those are guys, folks will say, they'll never change. Whew. The Lord can do it. I've got stories. Pastor David says, he's got a bunch of the Beyond Addictions course, whatnot. I use that as just one example. We serve a God of miracles, and he transforms lives. But he needs his people breaking for the lost and about his work. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word and who you are, Lord Jesus. Father, we come to you asking for that filling afresh of your spirit, Lord, to lean into wherever you spoke to our hearts this day, Lord. That, Father God, we would allow you to melt, mold, fill us, and use us for your glory, Lord. Father, contention can come, but help us to humble ourselves enough and to keep our eyes fixed on your work and on the lost, Lord. On the church growing in deeper communion with you, and those not knowing you coming to know you. Lord, help us each to remove whatever is in the way of being able to share Jesus with whoever you put in front of us. Lord, give us humble hearts Lord, give us the Philippians 2 mind of Christ. That, Father, we'd see one another, we'd see the world around us through your eyes. Lord, your word tells us that you want to see all come to repentance. And Lord, I pray that be our heart's desire. That all that don't know you would know you. And that all that do know you would lean in deeper to their communion and relationship with you. Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray you bless my brothers and sisters here. Grow them, Lord, that they would be doers of your word. And that, Lord, we would have a fire to tell anybody and everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ, who transforms you forever. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.